This podcast is powered by Men's Tee Clinic. June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's Tee Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's Tee Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or menstclinic.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Hour 2, G-Bag Nation, 105.3 The Fan. Full report coming from Broadus at 3:40. He's just fresh in from Cowboys practice up there at the Ford Center at the Star. Cowboys news coming up at 3:20. Right here we have Rangers, we have Mavs, and we do have Dallas Stars for you here. Thought you'd appreciate it. But we're all here now, all six of us. There's Carter Freeman coordinating your video. You can go ahead and watch us at 105.3thefan.com, Twitch, and YouTube. What you point at, Brian?
Should we text McMahon and see if he'll answer? He's on TV right now looking at his phone.
Looks like he's texting somebody. Might as well be you. You know?
You think we should?
Ask him what he's got for us on this Jason Kidd story. Would be fascinating.
Yeah. All right, I'll ask right now.
My read on this is it might not be over. They don't want it to cast a shadow over the Cooper flag.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I asked somebody this morning, and he goes, man, my New York guys are telling me it's not over. So we'll see what happens.
We go to Robert Tiffin, an independent beat writer covering the Dallas Stars, posted a story about an hour ago saying the Stars could trade Jason Robertson.
Oh, you don't say.
Wolchuk, do you feel vindicated?
I always did. I always felt vindicated. You know, I mean, it is what it is. I'm not just putting crap out there for no reason. You know, I talked to people and I heard some good information. So,
of course you did. Bully Melrose.
Now, one of the things is the New York Rangers were a team interested in Jason Robertson, and Chris Kreider is a player that they're already going to be sending to Anaheim, it appears. Not a done deal, but that could be a team that was interested that might not be. But, yeah, it's not a surprise. Robo's got one great year left on the deal that's for cheap. And then after that, you're going to have to pay big money to him. And he's a good player, and I like him. But maybe you can upgrade your roster and move on from him and allow you to get something instead of let him leave for nothing.
Man, I would love a defensive version of Jason Robertson. You know, there's just so many ways that I think this team could be changed. And they haven't done anything, especially Robertson in the postseason, to make you feel like we can't get rid of this guy.
Yeah.
You know, I hate how abusive Stars fans were to you, because I really do believe they're in an echo chamber where everybody agrees with the same thing based on what their leaders say. And if somebody says something different, they can't imagine that it could be true. And here you are coming back into the Stars discussion a week after they attempted to drag you through Stars media saying, huh, how do you like me now, baby? That's right.
Yep. That untouchable Wyatt Johnston, who had one of the worst plus minuses in NHL history, too. I mean, come on, guys. We got to improve here.
Yeah, so Stars could trade Robertson. I think, to me, that means they're considering all options for, you know, trying to finish this build. And I don't know, maybe the decision to move on from DeBoer has nothing to do with the roster being physically soft in games. Maybe I am making a leap that isn't there when I say they're also mentally soft. But for sure, you need to get tougher on the ice, so you're going to have to give up some of your finesse players. You know, I think the Cowboys might be doing the same thing with how they're looking at tight end. Like, we got to get more physical, as much as we like Jake Ferguson's catching. If we want to be serious about running the ball, it's probably going to involve him sitting and these two tight ends when we go to 12 with Span Ford and Skinny, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, it was, I guess, encouraging to see he was making plays out there today. But yes, this is absolutely an offense with the Cowboys that's going to want to get back to being able to run the football consistently well. So which tight ends are the best at doing that? You're going to have to probably earn the right to catch balls by putting people in the dirt a little bit.
Well, I like the sound of that. Okay, we have a comp from an NBA writer on Cooper Flagg. This is Chuck Klosterman, NBA journalist, kind of a dork. But he's on with Bill Simmons here talking NBA offseason. Here's his Cooper Flagg comp that they clipped.
What is your highly specific Cooper Flagg prediction?
I think he's going to have a career like Detlef Schrempf.
Detlef Schrempf. Okay, jeez. Let's hear it.
I think he's going to be a very good player for a lot of years. You know, I mean, Schrempf, I think, was a made All-NBA once. I think he was a third-team All-NBA once, but a few All-Star games. But I don't know if he's – I don't see him as a dominating player. I think that he will be the, you know, the second best player on a good team or the third best player on a great team. I mean, I like him as a player, but I don't, nothing I saw to me, not that I'm an expert or anything, but made me think like he is going to be, you know, unstoppable. I think he's just going to be very good.
I think KG, even though he doesn't have the same height KG has, I think that's the best comparison because of his competitiveness, which is what he's similar to KG. He's just a maniac. Like all the guy wants to do is win, and every single practice, every drill, he's just like KG was. He just has to dominate everything. And those guys usually are absolute beasts in the NBA.
The original big German Detlef Schrempf or KG. I don't know. I like what both of them had to say. You look at the playing style, it's more dribbling than Garnett did.
Right.
But as a power forward with good height, a good jump shot. KG shot a lot of jump shots. He was an incredible defender that could defend multiple positions. I don't see the Detlef Schrempf one. You know, the original big German. He was he a Mav at first or was he a Sonic at first? I don't know, but I know Detlef Schrempf
was a Sonic at first.
But he was kind of like sixth man dude for you, maybe some of you younger NBA guys that don't have a great reference point for Detlef Schrempf. He was just a pretty good player. So I think that would be a massive disappointment, wouldn't it? If Cooper Flagg was just Detlef Schrempf, Brian.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that would be horrifying.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Kevin Garnett would be awesome. I don't know if he's as good as KG. I think maybe somewhere in between what both those said. But, I mean, Schrempf was more of like your classic big, skilled European. He wasn't going to go lock anybody up.
I heard high-end Scottie Pippen, low-end Aaron Gordon.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Aaron Gordon would be tough, but
yeah, that would be great.
Role player.
Yeah, dangerous. Like, I mean, entertaining player, but versatile player.
Everybody thinks this guy is because they think, oh, he's big and he could, you know, they think like, but Scottie Pippen, like a 6'9 guy?
6'8, 6'9, yeah.
See, this guy is like 6'7.
Yeah.
So they're kind of thinking like the couple guys in the league, scout guys I was talking to, was saying this guy could be like the high end would be Scottie Pippen.
I like that. That is a really good comp. Because he was a forward that managed to play point because he saw the game so well.
Right.
Yeah.
And then Flagg also has like a three ball.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
And it's improving.
Yeah. Well, this the Eric Gordon thing was kind of that was the low end and like a really good NBA player. You know, that's kind of what I was hearing.
Yeah, I like those comps. You know, it's going to be really interesting to see how much they want to put the ball in his hands. And how you look at your decision on who you are going to trade. Because right now with Anthony Davis, with PJ Washington, and with Cooper Flagg all there at the four, you could really use it if Flagg or Washington could play more small forward or even two guard minutes there with Flagg. I don't know if the handle is there. It makes a lot more sense that you would pick one of those three guys to trade. I guess one of the reports that's out there is the Mavs want to hang on to Daniel Gafford and PJ Washington. I just don't know how you're going to be able to hang on to everybody. And if you're hanging on to those two, like, who are you trading? How are you going to get a dynamic backcourt guy to buy time until Kyrie Irving comes back?
You got to give it again.
Who would you trade?
I definitely trade Gafford. And I love him. I mean, I love Gafford. I know Lively's got some injury history, but since you have Anthony Davis, who also, yeah, injury. But I feel like you're big. Like, you've got the size now. Like, Gafford used to be a guy I wouldn't want to part with. I'd rather trade Gafford than PJ. And it's mainly just because Gafford's in the last year of his deal, and he's going to be a free agent, and I don't really see how they could afford to keep him, especially since he has already said he wants to be paid amongst the highest paid centers in the league. So I think the writing's on the wall that you're going into a final year of Daniel Gafford as a Maverick, so get ahead of it and get something for him.
Yeah, that would be my selection as well. And I don't know exactly the route they want to go. Do you want to go the Drew Holiday route? Do you want to go up maybe a little bit younger with a touch more upside, a little bit cheaper? But I think there are going to be plenty of options there, and I'm excited to see who they sort of zero in on. Maybe they just say, hey, we're just going to go try and get a free agent, Chris Paul. We don't have to move on from anybody. Just sign him, pretty cheap, stopgap, here we go.
Yeah, Chris Paul would be nice. You know, there are going to be a lot of options because of how many good players they have at different price points. Like, you're going to be able to make a lot of stuff work now, and I think they should. Okay, am I ready to eat crow on Jack Leiter? Every time this dude goes out and has a good start, I get at least five tweets about it and a number of texts the following
show. Good
for you,
man. That's great.
I love it.
Yeah, people are paying attention.
They're calling me out for it. So he's on the hill again tonight.
Yeah.
And you know, obviously, we're really hoping for the best. You know, I think the great news right now for Jack Leiter is he's proven that he can have a really good big league career. I think that's what we've seen. And, you know, if a massive success story for the Leiter family. Like, in the previous couple of years, the possibility that maybe he's not going to make it at all was kind of out there as he's really struggling in the big league level and looking super, super nervous. So he's taking a big step forward this year. And I think that's got to be incredibly exciting for everybody in that Leiter household. Like, shoot, yeah, our kid's going to be in the big leagues probably for the next 7 to 10 years. He's going to have his own wealth. I'm going to be able to step away from this MLB network here real soon, honey. We're going to be traveling the country, watching our son making tons and tons of cash in this new Major League Baseball. It's going to be awesome. I still think he's a three at best, and that doesn't mean, you know, probably a three. It also means maybe 4 or 5, maybe long relief guy is still there. So right now, you know, the baseball gods are smiling on him. On May 14th, Jack Leiter had his best game, and he got guys chasing the fastball at a pretty high rate. Remember, we were talking about his dad going on MLB Network, talking about the tunneling and the breakthrough. And what you got was whiff rate and location that was just off the charts good. But, you know, since then, it's regressed to season averages. So one of the things that will happen as you become a sports parent, Chief, maybe, I don't know if Brian, this ever happened to Brian. He seemed to have a pretty level head on himself watching his kid. Like, a lot of times parents see their best kid from their game as what they are now. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Where a lot of level-headed parents will see, like, oh, that was the best game he'll ever play.
Yeah.
A lot of parents think, oh, he had a breakthrough.
Right, that's right. Who he is now.
Yeah. So, you know,
I'm just glad when he got up every play.
That's right.
That's all I cared about. Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, the average exit velo, the chase percentage, the whiff percentage, the walks percentage, they're all in the bottom third of the big leagues. The hard hit percentage is in the bottom half. All of them, you are either like middle third or bottom third in. And the fastball chase rate, 27%, is technically in the bottom third of the league. That's his average. When he gets in, now all you have to do is like get into the 30s, and now we can be a high strikeout big league pitcher. But this jump into the 30s, I think, is the step that I need to see in that baseball savant page that Sandler turned me on to. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, what are we really seeing with Jared Sandler? So you go there, and then you just enter Jack Leiter, and they give you where he is compared to everybody. Mm. And the most important numbers, I think, are like, what's your expected batting average and what's your expected? That's kind of like how CY can tell you, Simeon's going to hit. This is going to be fine. And when guys, you know, don't have those predictive analytics that go along with it, that's when you know maybe that success is going to be short-lived. Right, Wolchuk?
Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, you can. We talked earlier, I mean, 2 weeks ago about that four-seam fastball. I just think he's developed other pitches into his repertoire. But I think the main thing with him is the mentals. Like, that was the thing that it just seemed like he was over-stressing. He didn't seem comfortable. We talked about him like just looking fidgety on the bump. Yeah. It seems like now, like, even if he does have a bad at bat, it's okay. You know, this is part of the process. I can go ahead and put this behind me now. And maybe it did just take, you know, there's comfort that sets in now.
Wolchuk, your baseball, is there a stat that they have that, like, what pitcher gets the most run support? Do they keep that?
Defensive run saved.
Oh, that's defensive run saved?
Yeah, defensive run saved, I'd say, would probably be the best one for that.
So, like, if I was curious, like, is Jack Leiter getting more runs than Mally?
Like, yeah, we could probably find that out.
I was just curious, like, is he getting more runs and he's pitching more with a lead, which is kind of helping him a little bit. But I don't know. I think Mally, I think he gets like 3.5 runs a game. You know, I was just curious if there was a stat that is there something that's making Jack Leiter more comfortable out there on the mound.
Yeah, because he got screwed last year, certainly by not getting that. Yeah. I mean, we talked about like
Eovaldi will win games like 1-0.
Yeah.
You know, and like stuff like that. I just wonder if some of these dudes don't get any run support, and that kind of Fs them up for, you know.
I love how everybody's got lighters back, though. 903, stay with soccer, Gavin. 817, Dawson, you're so wrong. Just admit it. Lighter will be an ace.
But you have admitted it. I mean, you've admitted that you're eating crow, right?
No, I'm just asking, should I eat crow?
Oh, should you eat crow? Oh, absolutely you should eat crow.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
Oh, yes.
I mean,
that's a comical opinion you had there, man.
What would be your ruling, Wolchuk?
I think we're definitely getting there, yeah.
We're getting there?
We're almost there.
I might be snacking on some crow appetizers right now.
I just wanted to stack on good games, and so far he's doing that. So if this continues, then
if you ordered some crow, I tell you what, Zach had some crow last night.
I'll update you again at the All-Star break. Definitely. I'll update you again at the end of the season if he's still in the big league club. Chief, what do you think is going to be?
Wait a minute. Whoa. Circle back. What did you just say?
We need a larger sample size.
He said if he's on the big league club.
Yeah, you might get in an innings count situation. They might want to shut him down.
Did we do that last year?
I don't think
let the established guys take this thing into September and beyond.
treat him like a vet. We're going to give him some rest days here.
So what would be your prediction?
Well, I'm just looking at the walks. I think the walks is probably the big thing that should give you hope that the crow is not on its way to you. I mean, he's second. He's given up the second most walks on the team, and he's pitched in far less amount of innings when you compare him. Now, obviously, you're comparing him to some studs in this rotation right now, but he's got 24 walks in 51 innings.
Hadn't the last couple of times he's kind of gone into the seventh inning these last couple starts?
Yeah, I mean, he's just been getting better.
Been outstanding. I think getting closer at least. I just don't know exactly what the threshold is. I think if he's a number two starter, clearly, I think if you hold an under four ERA, can I make it that line? Hold an under four ERA for the season, be a number two starter. And he'll never be a number two starter. I can't put it there. But maybe a number three.
Hey, Jason Kidd talking yourself out of this job.
Remain a starter.
Stay in the rotation.
You could be a 4-5 guy.
You just can't get that out of your brain, right? That whole thing with he's not going to be in the league much longer, Something bad's going to happen.
I said he busted as an ace. I think I'm right about that.
He's not going to be an ace. We did expect he was going to be.
Nah. Yeah, I mean, you take a guy in the top five, that's in the possibilities. And we check that off. Mm. And now he's I'd say, somewhere in the Dane Dunning category. Okay, it's... it's the G-Bag Nation. He's a hard-throwing Dane Dunning.
He's going to get DFA'd in 2 years.
Jeez. C-Note's coming up next. We'll deliver the Cowboys news of the evening and then get to Krusty's Corner coming up next here on The Fan.
This podcast is powered by Men's Tea Clinic. June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's Tea Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's Tea Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA or mensteaclinic.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Yeah, buddy, welcome back. It's time now for the C-Note here, the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Cowboys news of the evening. We took a look at the headlines and what's making news, what's going viral across Cowboys social media. Brian Broaddus and Krusty's Corner's coming up at 3:40, and he is just back from Cowboys practice. He's going to unload the notebook of his coming up for you in about 15 minutes.
You have an actual notebook.
Yeah, I love that. Old school
notebook.
Handy dandy.
It's tough taking notes on a phone because, the older generation will think you're just dorking off swiping TikTok videos. So you get that notebook out. Now everybody knows I mean business.
Well, the thing about it is, too, though, the Cowboys are so paranoid when you're on your phone while practice is going on.
Thinking you're tweeting live.
Yeah, thinking you're tweeting live pictures and all that stuff. And, they walk by and say, listen, no photography, no still photography. And they get into, all that stuff. But, yeah, that's cool. I mean, like I say, I love to sit down and write notes and kind of at the end of it, though, it's kind of like, okay, I got to put them in my phone just so I know if I'm on another.
Take a picture of them, snapshot, transcribe them.
There are things. I was looking at some things today at 3:40. There's some things I noticed in the in the red zone period. So if somebody from the Cowboys listening today, and I'm going to get in trouble, just go ahead and let me know right now, because I was going to say some scheme things today.
Scheme.
I was going to scheme some things.
Oh, that's one of those S-words.
That is juicy.
Just seeing what some guys are lining up and stuff.
Okay, I like it. Segment here brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. Go online, frankelfirm.com. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. It's also brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. The big story, once again, Micah, as he went through some individual pass rush drills on Wednesday after watching the early parts of practice, did not take part in team, said Tuesday he would do some more work if his back loosened up. Apparently the back loosened up. He wanted to jump in.
Yeah.
Cowboys will conclude their offseason program on Thursday.
Yeah, Micah jumped in. They had a couple of different drills where there were it was competitive things. That's when Mike is going to show up at practice and do things.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was a race between him and Sam Williams, who could get off the ball quickest and who could get to the bag. They had two bags lined up. And so, like, Mike is, like, watching. He's just kind of, like, watching the drill. And the next thing you know, he jumps in there. And then it turns into him and Sam Williams have a battle. And then, like, Sam Williams beats him one time. And then Mike is like, oh, no, do it again. And then, you know, so now. But then, like, when the other team aspect of things, or, you know, like rushing the passer and stuff like that during the team period, 7-on-7 period stuff, he was not a part of that. So,
man, Sam's rehab must be going pretty dang good.
He didn't have his knee brace on, because I was told that he was going to wear a knee brace, and he did not have that knee brace on today. So
that's great news.
He did a good job of getting off the football.
He said yesterday, I'm pretty hopeful. I understand it's up to Jerry. He gives the green light on everything. Hopefully something is done next month. There was no update on that so far today.
Yeah, for what I was told early conversations when this first started with Micah and David Mulligetta, early conversation, but recently none. That's what I was told. So there have been conversations with Mulligetta. Has it been in the last couple of days, or, you know, maybe the week? No, but they did talk to Mulligetta. This isn't just like the Cowboys haven't called at all.
Okay.
They have made, and I'm not going to say an offer, but they have made conversation. But I was told, has it been lately? Well, no, that hasn't been the case.
You know what's great? Maybe you guys have a different perspective on this, but I feel like as a player holding out with the Cowboys now, it's not like it used to be where the fans will get on you.
Oh,
do you think the fans are on Micah, or the fans are more on Jerry?
They'll always be more on Jerry. But the thing is that watch if Micah signs a $40 million a year contract and doesn't do anything in the playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
Then the fans will get on him for that.
For sure.
I mean, they'll pocket watch you for sure.
But definitely we're on Micah. I mean, even him not being here last week.
There's
for the
people,
whole thing, we talked about that. Like, is it a detriment to the team that he's not there for OTAs?
I mean, at least he stays healthy, you know, and I kind of don't blame him, because I feel like the Cowboys would tag him.
Yeah.
Well, I agree with you on
definitely
that.
Definitely.
Okay. Cowboys wide receiver George Pickens on why this is the right place for him. Just the guys and the team speed. The team speed applies to the scheme, too. If you got a lot of fast guys, you're going to definitely have a different scheme, Pickens said. This is the most speed he's played with since the team at Georgia. So I think that's the most exciting thing for me. Yeah. He just has a chance to change everything.
I think it speaks to just how slow those Steelers offenses were. Right? I mean, outside of Turpin and Jaden Blue, I mean, who's really wowing you with speed?
Yeah. CD's just got average speed, right?
Yeah, CD, hell of a player. He's not like a
Did
super
you say
burner.
Turpin?
Yeah, Turpin and Blue are like Blue. The only guys that you are synonymous with speed.
You definitely noticed them during practice.
Yeah, you can tell.
You can tell.
Yeah. No, I'm excited about Turpin. Wide receiver 3 with all the coverage Pickens.
I got something for you I saw, too.
Oh, that's hot.
Okay.
Yes.
Speaking of the juice, here's Jalen Tolbert, Good Morning Football, talking about the energy at practice.
We actually have a piece of paper you can write down songs on, and we have a guy, we call him DJ Daniel, so he plays the ones and twos for us while we're at practice, and like I say, the guys love the energy, love the music that we're able to listen to at practice. It brings just a little extra touch to it, and, you know, we're even all chasing after the ball, you know, running full speed after, you know, whoever catches the ball or running back busts through the hole. We're all chasing, you know, finishing in the end zone with him, and, you know, those are two things that are completely different from practice before. And so, like I said, we're all having fun out there, and it's actually fun to, you know, compete with who gets to the end zone first without the ball. You know, like, we're racing each other to get in there and then have to run all the way back and, you know, do another play. So, like I said, we're having fun with it. We're creating a different feel, different culture around here, and it's exciting.
It's the little things, man.
The music is loud. I mean, really loud, to the point where the neighbors in, well, people in the neighborhood to the Star are talking about how loud they can hear it outside.
Oh, with the outdoor practices.
Yeah, the outdoor practices, but indoors. This thing, you know, they used to have the little, like, along the field. Remember, you walk by it during the practice, and there would be the little speakers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No, it's over the loudspeakers of the stadium. So it's, you can hear it, and it's 3/4 of the practice. I mean, it's going on and loud.
Is it a barrier to communication?
I'll tell you what. I mean, there's a lot of, like, yelling. I mean, you could see the coaches, and
you got to yell to get over the music.
You
got to
yell. You got to yell.
DJ Daniels is on it, man.
You got to yell to get over the music. But he's right about, because it's funny when they'll score. Now, when training camp, we'll see when guys are tired. We'll see who chases the ball.
Yeah, the interceptor guy.
It's really fun right now until, like, you're at training camp practice and you've run, like, you know, 4 miles in that practice already, and you're, like, still chasing the ball. But they're definitely having fun.
That's a shoddy emphasis, though. He's talked about that every press conference. Like, watch our guys when they don't have the ball after the play. Yeah. How are they running? They compete.
Well, the
there.
Quarterbacks, the whole group is like, whoever scores, they just all run down to the end zone. I mean, like, it's funny. It's you know, Will Greer's like hoofing it down there. You know, like, what are you doing, bro? I mean, hang back, you know. But
it's contagious. Apparently, even Linda Wells, the tight ends coach, is displaying some pretty interesting dance moves out there.
Yeah,
you can see that on Cowboys Twitter right now.
Yeah, they've got a lot going on.
One of the many stats that must be better this year compared to last year, we could be taking big steps back or maybe towards the end of Dak Prescott's career. Warren Sharp gave best quarterbacks when losing in the second half. Now, on this, it's just 2024. I would like to see how he would score Dak compared to his peers, but he was 33rd in the NFL last year. That was bad. That was brutal. You know, and I think you combine that with what happened against the 49ers and what's happened in these fourth quarters. How much confidence do you have? We've seen some quarterbacks who great in 2-minute drill have these fourth quarter comebacks, and I think Dak had at one point a number of fourth quarter comebacks to his name, but it doesn't feel like we've been there over the last 3-4 seasons. What do you guys think?
Do they have that stat for 23? I mean, I'm sorry. I detect, like, every game them getting blown out early.
I mean, the last big one I remember, that Houston game a couple of years ago. Where, and they shouldn't have even been close. They're playing against, like, Jeff Driscoll and the Houston Texans. It's 23-20. The defense gets that big goal line stop, and then they got to go 99 yards down the field to win the game. And they did it.
Yeah.
That's the last one I can really remember.
There was
off the
no
top
Detroit
of my head.
Ones. We the Detroit game where they messed up the 2-point play. We did, that wasn't a comeback.
They had the lead in that one. Seattle, maybe that.
I was just trying to remember. Like, I kind of feel like that 2024 was just. Because of the injury and stuff like that, maybe. But he played what? How many games he play in 2024? Like eight?
Like eight.
Seven. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Well, then if you play that many, then that kills my thought. That's half the game.
I mean, it was tough pass rushers that they were facing rookie tackle. I think last year's a small sample size.
Yeah, they were
but
bad.
That's why I threw out of the playoff games and stuff. I don't know how confidence in Dak in 4-minute situations is. Jerry has bragged for years about how he'd spend anything, write any check to win. The report coming in, Dan Rogers blogging the boys, an interesting breakdown, ranking teams by how many high-priced players you have, and they have three categories, 5, 10, and 20 mil. And only the Chiefs and Bills and Lions have more 5 million-plus players. Like, the Cowboys are doing a nice job in the $5 million bucket. Like, let's get a bunch of these guys. But they have the fewest $10 million players and the fewest $20 million players compared to the Eagles, Bills, and Lions, and two other of the top contenders, maybe Ravens. Mm. And they're average in void year money, which tracks how much you're willing to spend. But, you know, it's interesting right now how the Eagles have changed the game and the 49ers and Giants are getting involved in this. Can the Cowboys keep up with a big spending NFL if that's the trend?
You know, would they need to sell part of their equity? I imagine they're one of the few family-owned businesses that could keep up with the hedge fund money and some of the other wealth that you know might be entering the picture as far as sports ownership.
I think you got to look at the teams that like the. I think Carolina could keep up. I think the Rams could keep up. Denver with Walmart money.
Yeah,
there's some organizations, but the mom and pop shops.
Yeah,
you know, even Jeff Lurie. Jeff Lurie made his money in the movie business, like as a movie producer and all that. I don't believe Jeff Lurie has like, you know,
oil and gas businesses.
Yeah, I don't think he has like you look at what Jerry does. It's we all know this. I mean, it's you know the legends. It's the oil and gas stuff. The real estate. He's got money. I don't think Jerry will ever have to sell any part of his franchise. Because he could raise money just through his other businesses
I think so
to
too.
Pay.
Yeah.
Now, and did have you talked about this? I think you said yesterday, like, but wait a minute, is he willing to?
Yeah, would you be willing to? Do you want to join this race?
Right, I don't think
do you
he
have
has any
the
interest.
Capital? And then if you're Jerry Jones, are you going to take that $100 million and buy another oil and gas company, or are you going to put it into your roster?
Yeah.
And I wonder if how they dominate the news cycle anyway, if they would think of that throwing that $100 million in as it's not going to help us nearly as much as buying this oil and gas company.
Right.
And that's where it comes to, like, what are you willing to sacrifice to win the Super Bowl? The Eagles are literally selling off equity in the organization. Here you go. Yeah. Here's 10%. Here's 10%. Now we have enough money to buy all the contracts.
See, that's because you got these owners that don't have any other businesses. Mm-hmm. They just don't. But you've got guys.
And they don't have the business sense to get the return on investment that the Joneses
there you
could.
Go. You know? They're making more than enough money just owning an NFL team. The McCaskies, the Rooneys, the Maras. They're looking at it like we have to sell because we're taking, if we take $600 million out of our pockets, our families, that's coming out of their pocket.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's like, you know, the those teams that don't have that money, they're taking it away from their family for the future.
Yeah.
I think I said that the right way.
No, it's tough, and it's becoming more difficult across all sports, especially with the sovereign wealth funds coming in now and all the different hedge funds that are buying up teams. It's like tech billionaires are the bottom of the food chain.
Well, a lot of these owners that, like, I know the guys that own the Celtics, they all, what they did, they got that money, and they're now investing in a lot of teams, not just one.
Yeah.
They're thinking, let's not just...
Investment group.
Yeah, let's not put it all in one team. Let's, over various sports, buy 10% here, 8% here. They're just trying to get a little bit of taste of every sport.
Well, I know folks are chomping at the bit to get a taste of Krusty's Corner coming up next.
Yeah, Brian, let's talk about what I saw. I can make this thing seem like a Super Bowl practice. We'll do that.
This podcast is powered by Men's Tee Clinic. June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's Tee Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's Tee Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or menstclinic.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.
That next.
Thank you very much, Lucius. It's the G-Bag Nation here on the Fan. Time now for Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Here's the King, Brian.
Thank you very much, General, and thank you to Reliant as well for being a part of this. You guys are super folks. Also, thanks to my teammates for allowing me to go watch practice today.
You got it.
So, dude, I really do appreciate
it's
you guys.
It's a benefit for us and for you.
No, I really do appreciate
it. It's therapeutic for you, dude. We know how much you need that.
I do need that. That's a...
For your mentals, you know?
For my mentals is...
You're talking doctor, basically, watching practice. You're just not right.
Yeah. Save space.
Not right. And two, Dawson, can I say thanks to Abbott's Frozen Custard?
Wow.
What'd you try?
I had that taco sandwich thing.
Dude, the taco. How phenomenal. We've had a void for a couple years now with no Choco Tacos.
How do you take a... It's the cone, and I guess they bend it?
Yeah.
They bend it to put the
homemade cone.
Yeah. And they just that waffle cone, it just
like a taco.
It's a beautiful vessel. for custard.
Crazy how good that was. I'm just going to say this. Might be the best dessert I've ever had.
Whoa!
I'm a 61-year-old man eating a lot of desserts in my life. Love key lime pie. Have had all the things you have to order ahead. That had, you know, everything. Creme brulee, all that stuff. Like, I've had all that, everything. That right there, I have never had Abbott's. And by gosh, I would have that again. That just crushed that 4 mile.
Takes the cake and the Choco Taco.
It's called the Choco Taco.
Well, that was the OG that you get in the ice cream stores or 7-Eleven, little cooler there. But that the Choco Taco went away is what the guys were saying.
Mm-hmm.
And now Abbott's has filled that void.
Thank you. Thank you to Abbott's for stopping by and making our lives a little better today. All right. I promised you I watched this football practice today. I said this about our Sam Williams not wearing that knee brace, right?
Yes.
I noticed that right off the jump.
It's great news. I mean, we're almost a year removed from that injury.
Yeah, but I wonder if he's going to wear it during the season. But today at practice, he did not have it on. The practice was indoors, and trust me, I was grateful. Yeah, I didn't. Yeah,
you'd be sweating.
I would be kind of musty right now if that was the case.
It's also a better view for practice, I think.
I was sitting up there pretty high. And, was just hanging out there. But I got to see a lot more of the individual stuff today. But they did do some things in team, just a little bit of team, some two-minute stuff. And then they did some red zone stuff. So, you know, it was a good practice to kind of get. Now, things I've noticed. First off, they are working Lamb. And our little guy.
Turpin. Or Deuce Vaughn.
No. Vaughn actually ahead of Blue.
The Littles?
Wow. Right now. Like when they went to some two work, they put Vaughn ahead of Blue in some of those opportunities. Now I don't know if it was one of those things. Now
I wouldn't panic. I would not panic about it.
No, I think this is a thing because we saw with what Bobby was talking about yesterday with Ferguson, I think they are just playing with the lineup a little bit because you did see Ferguson back today getting a little bit more. But the thing is with Span Ford is that, and we were talking about him and catching the football.
Mm-hmm.
It's still what it is. You know,
it's not natural.
It's not. And they do this drill where they have these bags with these extended like pads for arms.
Uh-huh.
And so he has to come around the pad and then, you know, he just doesn't look comfortable doing it. It's just like he's kind of fighting himself a little bit.
It's hard
catching the ball.
Got to become one with the pigskin, man.
But you know, Ferguson, some couple nice really little seam plays down there that were really good. But if I could go back, like I say, they were practicing some toss. Okay, here I'm about to get in trouble here.
Lamb and Turpin toss?
Yeah. Like, you know, you're thinking, okay, well, here's going to be that, put that big number, you know, put that you know, the big wide receivers out there and just let them crack down inside. You know, the crack toss stuff like
now you
that.
Got Mingo out Mingo, there.
Mingo, yeah. Remember how Mingo, like, on the edge?
Yeah.
And then get.
Is one of your better blockers.
Get those guys.
Is this like end around toss or is this like out of the backfield?
No, this is like lined up like in an eye and then just toss it.
Cool.
You know, and you're like.
Well, you saw that with Turpin at the end of last year when they made him like a tailback.
They were a couple of times they just handed him the ball.
Yeah.
And it was to the line of scrimmage and through. Yeah. And you're like going, all right, here we go. I like what we're doing here.
Yeah, I like that.
But I will say this. How about our guy Thomas, the guard that from.
Nate Thomas. Louisiana.
He was playing backup right tackle today.
Well, okay, so he was a tackle.
Yeah.
I
was going to ask you about that because we saw him.
Yeah. I liked his tape at tackle, but yeah. Last year he moved into guard. But that's interesting. Maybe he's a guy that can compete for some swing opportunity.
Yeah, because he was playing as that right tackle. I thought, well, they're going to plug him in and let him play some guard. Because
they've got an overflow of guards now with the addition of Robert Jones.
Right. Yeah.
That makes sense.
That is absolutely right. All right. So we've got running, we've got wide receivers doing some of the stuff in the backfield right now. And I think that's something you're gonna continue to see right there. Today, I'll tell you what, man, it is when they get down in the goal line, what they're gonna do here is they're gonna, I believe this they're going to use Pickens and they're going to use Lamb to the same side is what they're going to do.
As they should.
Today, Pickens was the underneath guy. Lamb was the underneath guy. Pickens was the overtop corner guy.
Yeah.
So what they're doing is they're taking advantage of Pickens' ability to go get the football.
Uh-huh. Vertical.
So he's going pylon.
So yeah, back pylon guy where Lamb is next to him, but working under and kind of the pivot routes. When I say like in, out routes, mm-hmm. he's the guy that's kind of doing that today. So it's like it was just those two working and with Dak. And this was during the special teams drill. I was just sitting there watching them. And they never put Pickens inside. They always put Lamb inside, and he was always going to be that guy. And they were actually working a couple of times where he was at the goal line, and they just hit him quick. It's just that kind of like – and then he sat on the ground, and quarterbacks threw him balls like they were like, you know, get to a spot, get down, and just throw it to the ground.
Okay.
To locate. So he literally – he ran a route, then came and then caught a ball. Then the next one, he just stopped and sat on the ground. And all three quarterbacks took turns throwing him the ball, like trying to put it in a spot mm-hmm. where maybe like we get down the goal line and he's going to just pivot inside and just hit him quick. And he's going to get down in that. But it is clear that they want Pickens to be the guy that work in the back in the end zone and work into the corner of it. Mm-hmm. And I think it's because of his ability to go get the football.
Totally. Yeah. Playing to his strength.
CD's naturally the guy that creates more separation.
Yeah, absolutely like that. All right. When I was watching some of the stuff they were doing on defense here, we'll talk about that a little bit. Another, you know, pretty decent day for our guy Elam. And what they tried to do was like they tried to take him on this vertical route. And he was running the route, but it was with Tolbert. So it wasn't somebody that's got like this explosive speed down the field. It was like Tolbert's out wide. Here's Elam. He's gonna carry him off the line, turn, and then this is the first play of 2 minute with Dak. He's gonna try and launch the ball down the right sidelines. And Hooker was in the middle of the field. Hooker was a little late to adjust, you know, that's kind of what Hooker does. Little late to adjust. But Elam with really good position inside to be able to like to keep the ball from, I mean, the ball was too far down the field, but he's step for step with Tolbert. There was another time where they tried to throw the ball inside to Lamb, and Elam was inside on that one and knocked the ball down. So there were a couple of different times where Elam was having to carry routes down the field. And one of them, again, against the slower Tolbert, which uh-huh. you can run with Tolbert. But Lamb from the outside trying to get to the inside. They tried to isolate. What they did was they put Span forward on the outside. So they tried to create width mm-hmm. in the middle of the defense. And they put CD inside with kind of like at a reduced look. Remember we were talking yeah. about playing down and tight? So he's going to run. They're going to try and create space with some width by moving the tight end and that. But nice job by Elam being able to carry the route from the inside. Like they took the linebacker, actually took McQuamu. They were playing some dime steps, six defensive backs. And they were using McQuamu as a dime linebacker. And he was picking up tight ends is what he was doing.
I like that, okay.
And Hall, the other
North
corner.
North Texas Main Green.
He was playing as the nickel. So when they went with the starters, Hall was the nickel on these packages and stuff like that. But they were trying to isolate CD one-on-one with Elam, and Elam was able to make the play. So, you know, he's showing
up every practice.
That's encouraging
maybe,
for
maybe
sure.
Maybe it's something with the media practices. I don't know. The other practices, he might be terrible. But you do see – it was nice to see him carry a couple of different routes. But it's also good to see a little bit of creativity of trying on down on the goal line to be able to get Pickens and Lamb on the same side and allow them to work. Maybe, like I say, Lamb a little bit underneath and then Pickens towards the back of the end zone as well.
Beautiful.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
Krusty's Corner every afternoon, 3:40, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning. David Hellman, NFL on Fox, jumps on with us next here on The Fan.
This podcast is powered by Men's Tea Clinic. June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's Tea Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's Tea Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA or menstclinic.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.